The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
Welcome to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf, your source for total wealth management. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the show are solely those of Roe, his guests, and callers. Now let's begin the show. Here's your host, Roe Diefendorf.
Thank you for joining us on Three-Dimensional Wealth, and I'm your host, Roe Diefendorf. And for the end of the year, we're going to be talking about goal setting and how to make the most of your personal wealth. And to do that, I have Jason Womack with me. And he is the go-to guy for personal effectiveness and enhanced productivity. And I'm going to let you tell us about your background, but one of the things I know is that he's got practical hands-on programs to motivate participants and make the most of their time, their energy, and their focus in the fields of work and life. And so I would put that into the three dimensions. And I know he's got a personal commitment to excellence that goes through all of his training workshops. And, boy, we are happy to have you here and to share with us today, Jason.
Well, Roe, it's a delight to be on the line with you and the listeners as well, and really hope to be of service to the community that you've kind of built around as we go through the afternoon.
Well, wonderful. Now, before I have you tell me some of your background, I just want to open up with this question. Can you experience anything you want? I mean, people say, you know, you can dream dreams, you can set goals, and you can make wishes, and do they come true? Is that, in fact, true?
You know, I love the way that you framed the question because it makes it a little bit easier to answer. And what I heard you say was, can you experience anything you want?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty easy. Now, can you get it? Can you do it? Can you have it? I think that's another discussion that we could definitely table and bring in line as is appropriate today. But the experience, and, you know, what I do is I drop down into kind of the feeling that someone gets when they experience what it was that they were going for. And as opposed to setting a goal, saying some outward outcome that I have to achieve this or else, as opposed to, well, here's what I'm going for, and this is how I'm going to feel, or this is what the experience is going to bring me when I'm there. You know, I've worked with a lot of people who are rich in one way, but very poor in others. And one of the things that I think that we could enhance our bank accounts, if you will, the area that we could really benefit from that from, is depositing in those feelings that we get when we're doing something well. I think a lot of people go through the day, Roy, and they forget to acknowledge those things that they've done really well.
When you said if you experience it, then it's almost you cannot fail. Because what you did say, I think you said something like, if you set a goal that I have to achieve, of course, if you don't achieve it, then you failed. But if you set for the experience, and maybe, am I reading too much into this, or is that part of what you're training?
I think we should may as well just start the interview off exactly where I'd like to go.
Which is
that specific thing right there. You know, the comment that I made, I think a lot of people will end a day and they'll look back and they'll count up or they'll reflect upon, even remember the failures they experienced that day. And it could be very simple. As simple as, oh, I didn't reach that client. I didn't get that report out. I didn't crunch the numbers. I didn't spend time with my wife. I didn't spend time with my kids. I love to end my day, and I tell this to the folks that I work with often, I just like to end my day and just do two things. One, I do a quick acknowledgement. What did I finish today? What did I make progress on today? What did I experience today that's getting along the process? And then the other piece that I like to fold in is the gratitude piece. But you're absolutely right. I think when we look back at the objective goal orientation that I know that I was brought up in, it really set the stage for, did you fail or did you succeed?
Mm-hmm. You know, when I grew up, my dad would say to me something like, you know, you can do anything you want. And so that when I originally opened up with that, you know, is, and it was sort of seeing is believing. Now, one of the questions I have is it seeing is believing, or is it believing is seeing? And is there a difference? I mean, I know it's a play on words, but in my mind, there's a very important difference. You know, it's seeing, you know, one is by faith. The other one is, you know, proved to me. And so when I start out to do something, if I believe and I can see it in my mind's eye, then I can accomplish it rather than saying, well, until I see it, then I'll believe it. And in that case, sometimes you never get started because you can't see it.
And then the other thing that I think people have are challenged by, and I always like to frame it as an opportunity that we could step into, is it's true, I might not be able to see myself in that new frame, whatever the picture is, whether it's a financial goal I've set out, a personal goal I've set out, a health or fitness goal that I've set out. It's what am I willing to picture in the frame? And I'm convinced, Roy, to this day, I don't think people don't get what they want because they didn't get it or they didn't work hard enough. I think people forget to get a very, very clear picture of exactly what it is they want. I'll meet with someone and say, well, I want to make more money. And I'll say, well, how much? And they'll say, well, you know, more than I'm making now. Well, give me a number. Or someone will say, I want to spend more time with my kids. Well, how much more time? Well, more than I am right now. My favorite one of all is someone who says, I want to reduce the stress in my life. And I know for a fact if what they're focused on is reducing stress in their life, just by the way that they framed that request, they have to experience stress so that they can experience less stress, but the stress will keep coming towards them.
I always say the absence of stress is death, so, I mean, some of it's not so bad.
What I think they're asking for, and this is where we go in the work that I do, especially with the coaching that I get to do every now and then, which is, what's the opposite of what you don't want? Well, I don't want stress. Well, I want relaxation. And then I'll work with the client, and we'll get down 3, 4, 5 things they could do in the next month that would actually be relaxing to them. So with a gentleman client, it might be one extra round of golf on a weekend in the next month. With a woman client, it might be, I'm going to get my nails done in the next 3 or 4 weeks. So what's a demonstrable activity that would actually put you in the place of where you're headed towards? Now, what it also does, it also brings in what we started off talking about, which is the experience. Can you experience anything you want? I guarantee it. If you call ahead and you make an appointment to get a manicure or you call for a tea time, your mind will actually start 2, 3, 4, 5 days ahead going to that spot, thinking, feeling what it's going to be like to be in that relaxed space. So you don't just get the benefit of being in on the course or in the chair, but you get that through the whole time period ahead of time. Where that compares and contrasts, I think, is, you know, I'll work with people and I'll say, as your hand hits the door to your house, before you open the door into your house, what are your first thoughts about what's coming at you that evening? And most people have
the car.
You know, I'll invite people to ask them the question when they walk in their house in the evening, how could I relax here tonight? Because your mind will answer almost every question you give it. And if it would be, oh, I'm going to sit down with a cup of tea, I'm going to walk around in my backyard, I'm going to take the dog up and down the block just for a minute. Again, some people have even experienced they didn't even have to do it physically, but by imagining sitting down, going in the backyard, going for the walk, they've actually started to experience anything they want.
There was a book I saw number of years ago, it was imagizing in golf, and basically what they were saying is you have to see the putt go in. You've got to see the ball go down the fairway and stay in the middle. And if you imagize, was their phrase, that in fact the probability for those things happening would increase. Now you used the phrase, you want to get the exact picture, you know, of what it's going to look like. How important when you're seeing and you're counseling is this self-talk? Is this imagizing? Is it just the escape from reality? Like, you know, well, I'm going to do this and yet there's no chance.
Well, there's two things, and I'm going to swing back to the self-talk. The first one I'd like to address is, you know, any speaker in a motivational genre is going to bring in examples from sports, from business, from finances, about that imagery, visualization. You know, I could do the one that I've been telling lately is last September, a few months ago, I went to the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs. I sat down with a guy named Frank Thomas, a kid from Alliance, Nebraska, who shoots skeet. Mm-hmm. And that's his thing. They gave him a shotgun, they gave him a bed, they feed him four or five meals a day. And his goal is to go to the Olympics and shoot a clay pigeon. 1 to 2 hours per day, he told me, he sits in a room, eyes closed, off music, sports psychologist across from him, and they visualize what his body's going to do as he's shooting skeet. So we all have these examples of that visualization piece. What I like to do is make it very, very practical. If we're going to talk about work-life balance, can I get a gentleman client to sit down across from me and for 30, 45 seconds visualize the successful conversation he's going to have with his teenage daughter? And not just see it in their head, but actually feel it. What it's going to feel like when he gets to share or impart or discuss that very specific, very difficult, very meaningful conversational piece with them. So that's what I mean by that clarity. I think what we need to do is take these examples that we trust. We trust them from golf. We trust them from tennis. We trust them from the business world and the financial world. What if we brought that into our real day-to-day as we're driving to work, as we're sitting in a meeting with a client kind of a thing?
And this is not random. This is not random things. I mean, this is intentional that you're talking about in strategic thinking.
Very, very specific, which leads me to talk about the self-talk concept. And here's the biggest misconception there is. I think people believe they either do self-talk or not, which is just an erroneous starting point. We're all doing self-talk all the time.
All right. Well, hold that thought. We're going to take a short break, but we'll be back with more Three-Dimensional Wealth. So stay tuned.
The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
Going nowhere as a financial professional? Enroll today at the American College. The American College is the nation's oldest and largest distance learning institution devoted to financial services education. Research has shown that graduates of the American College's Chartered Life Underwriter and Chartered Financial Consultant programs average 20% higher production income than their peers without professional designations. For more information, visit theamericancollege.edu. That's theamericancollege.edu, the education you need to succeed.
Financial planning can be confusing and complex, and unless you have a solid game plan, you could be taking unnecessary risks and missing out on tremendous opportunities. Let Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates take the mystery out of investing and help you build a solid financial foundation for years to come. Diefendorf Capital Planning revolves around the family, and through our financial service companies and three-dimensional wealth centers, we strive to deliver total wealth management financially, personally, and socially. Learn more about what Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates can do for you. Visit the website at diefendorfcapital.com today. Integrity, full service, best in class, diefendorfcapital.com.
Investment management is more than picking a good stock. In fact, a good company may not be a good investment. With today's complex financial products, it becomes critical to employ a true professional on your team. That's where the members of IMCA, the Investment Management Consultants Association, comes in. These professionals have proven themselves to be the best in the business. So when looking to get a second opinion on your portfolio, look for individuals with a CIMA designation. That's Certified Investment Management Analyst, a cut above the rest. Brought to you by the NYC chapter of IMCA.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business, this is Voice America Business.
Bringing you the keys to total wealth management, this is Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf. Comments or questions? Visit www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now back to the show. Here's Roe Diefendorf.
I'm here with Jason Womack, and we're discussing goal setting and how to make the most of your personal wealth. And just before the break, we were talking about the concept of self-talk. And you said, you know, people think it's either I self-talk, I'm talking, or I don't. But you said in reality, everyone is self-talking. What are we saying to ourselves? That's the question.
Well, the research that I've found, and I've read several books on this, and I've talked to a couple of psychologists in this specific field, the numbers vary, and I know listeners out there, you know, as soon as we start to put percentages, we start to worry, well, how many is it really? So what I've heard is as far up to 70%, but it could be 10%. So play around with this. But as much as 70% of what people tell themselves is negative and or critical in nature. And a way to play with this on a very personal level is if you're going to drive a car this afternoon, if you're going to take a train home this afternoon, maybe if you're waiting at the airport, just start to go through your mind for a moment. Look around that place. Look down the road. Look at the person sitting across from you. And just catalog what is it that's going on in your mind. Are you critiquing their dress? Are you critiquing the environment? Are you criticizing how things are going? All of that which is being done inside the mind. You know, I've often wondered, you know, if I could hear really what someone else is thinking, would I want to hang out next to them?
Wasn't there a movie like that?
Yeah, but I think that, yeah, What Women Want, I think.
Exactly, okay.
Yeah. So one trick to play with that, again, and I mentioned this earlier on, you know, it's something I use to end my day, which is to go back and acknowledge what I've done that day that's been effective or productive. And that really does a couple of things. One, it closes all the loops from that day. So if there were some things that are still open, if there were some things that are unfinished, I can go back and I can see where it was that I did finish things. What's fascinating, here's the second piece of that, is as people start to look at how much they are getting done, where they are experiencing accomplishment, it actually sets the stage for the next time. It's kind of like when people practice doing something, practice practicing with smaller events or smaller accomplishments. Because what will happen is through time, all those little wins and all those little accomplishments are going to start to catalog themselves, and so then the self-talk will start to become, oh, I've done this before. Oh, that's like me. Yes, that's how I do things. And so we're gently changing how it is that I used to look at things as hard, difficult, impossible, unfinishable, and I start to move myself to this other place where, well, one time in the past I finished something like this, so I should be able to do it again.
My problem is my self-talk is I'm so unrational. And so I said, boy, I'm the greatest thing. I put my toast in the morning, and I said, great job, Roy. I mean, you're as good as the President of the United States. Look at that. You know, I go on and on. I said, so I must be the other extreme. I'm always stroking myself.
Well, I think what happens is folks like you with your energy level and your passion to make things happen, you wake up with more ideas than you have time in the day to finish.
There's no question there. There's no question there. And but I'm one of those guys that, you know, I like to have my list and check it off so I can feel good about it. And sometimes I have to put things on the list that I've already done so I could check it off because I've done it, you know. And so I say, great job. Good job.
Yeah. And of course, you know, what you're modeling there for everyone around you, including yourself, but you're modeling for everyone around you, it's okay to write things down. It's okay to pat yourself on the back. It's okay, and here's the third one that I would love more and more people to acknowledge, it's okay to dream a little bit bigger.
You know, I carried what I call a goals folder. I've modified it now into a three-dimensional wealth goals folder. But for years, I carried this goal folder, and the goal folder in my pocket would say my short-term goals, you know, and my long-range goals, and then I had my business goals. And I had personal things like I'm going to learn how to juggle, and I'm going to climb, you know, the Matterhorn, which I was slated to, but now with a medical heart problem, I'm not going. But I would put these things on, and my long-range goals were what I called my 10-year goals. You know that by looking at them, I mean, 1 year, I knocked off 9 of my 10 long-range goals that I thought these were 10-year goals in a year. And, you know, I would look at them, and I'd say, well, how is it that I might be able to get there? And somehow I would do that. Now I've modified it to really talk about you know, personal wealth, financial wealth, social wealth, or my personal goals, my financial goals, my social goals, and, you know, how am I going to make sure that I have a good balance and that I'm not sort of way out of whack here and running out and saying, you know, I'm financially successful, but I'm personally bankrupt. And so I want to make sure that as I do that, I'm working on all three of those. And that's really sort of the thing that we want to make sure we're doing with our clients, is to get them to focus and say, hey, you know what? Your total wealth encompasses much more than just what your balance sheet says. You know, and how can we help them to address those and set real goals and then help monitor and follow up with it.
You know, I especially appreciate is that as people are listening to this, you know, I've always found that people in the midst of greatness, or people reading a book by someone who walks their talk, or people listening to a speaker and that speaker is encouraging them with information, inspiration, and motivation, I think people fall into different camps. And one camp they fall into is, oh, they can do that because, and they start to excuse away all the reasons that that person can do what they did. So, you know, I might listen to what you were sharing, Roey, and say, yeah, but, you know, he's a financial advisor. That's why he was able to do his 10-year goals in 1 year. Another camp people fall into is almost an anxiousness or a nervousness that, oh, I'm not worthy, I'm not worth it, I don't have goals like that, I don't have dreams like that, I may as well just stop listening right now. And I'll just encourage anybody listening in, to especially the stories that you just shared with us, Rory, there's a third place to go to, which is, if he can do it, there may be a piece of it that I can do. And here's one that I'll share that I've been using lately. And I was working with a small asset management firm in Dayton, Ohio last week, and a particular guy that I was working with, vice president of customer service, and we were taking a look at his roles, goals, responsibilities, and then we started talking about this very specific topic, that is, how can he start to look out a little further and see what it is, what it was, and what he wants to have coming toward him. And just that week, 2 days previous to working with him, I had gone by the Wright Brothers Interpretive Center, where they flew one of the first planes in Dayton, Ohio. And while I was there, I picked up a children's level biography. So, I don't know, it was maybe 60 or 80 pages, and the big type font, there was pictures on every third or fourth page.
I like those books because I feel good when I finish it, you know.
Well, I can sit down, I can finish the whole thing.
Exactly.
But I tell you what I walked away with was, I'm not just going to read the Wright Brothers biography. I've actually started building into my own, I've already been through three of them in the past week, I've built into my own reading children's level biographies. Because what it gives me is, here were a lot of people with a lot less than I have who had dreams and goals that were outstanding. I mean, you tell anybody in the 1900s, 1901, 1902, that these two bicycle mechanics were going to fly? And for years, these guys tried and tried and tried. And so by surrounding myself, you know, that goal folder that you have, I've been making for, gosh, years. Every now and then, maybe once or twice a year, I make a vision poster. And it's just what I want my life to look like, where I want to travel, what I want to be known for, what it is that I'd like to be involved in. And maybe it's 15 to 20 pictures that I cut out of magazines or I print off the web now. But I just look at that. And just like you say, you were looking at your goals list, I look at this vision picture. I'm a visual guy. I'm a picture guy. I like to see things in pictures. And what's amazing is I'll get to the end of a year and I'll pull out my vision board from 2, 3, 4 years ago just to check in, and I have it. I have more than what it is that I had envisioned. But it's putting the picture out there very clearly. If it's a number you want as far as income, if it's a number you want as far as involvement, if it's a number you want as far as days or hours in one place or another, get very, very clear on that. And then, like you said, put it into your space. If you look at it every day, if you look at it once a week, if you look at it once a month. Let me end on this piece, and then we'll go to another topic.
Okay.
People ask me all the time, they say, Jason, how often should I review my goals? And the way I answer it is, well, if you reviewed your goals once a quarter, you'd look at them four times a year. If you reviewed your goals once a month, you'd see them 12 times a year. If you reviewed your goals once a week, you'd see them 52 times a year. If you reviewed your goals once a day, you'd see them 365 days a year. If you reviewed your goals twice a day, you'd see them, and we'd go on from there. And then I end with the question, how badly do you want what you think you want? You want it? Review it.
There's, I had a few weeks ago on, I had a fellow that was on, David Bush. And one of the things he's done, if you go to my website, dieffendorfcapital.com, and on that right-hand side, if you look at, there says featured links. And if you look at 3D eLife plans, and you click on there, it'll take you to actually it's online sort of tracking, keeping track of your goals. I think it's terrific. And it'll remind you, and it says, you know, this one I'd like to be reminded twice a, you know, a month. Once a month, once a year, whatever. And it'll track them in what I call sort of their eight modules in terms of, you know, financial or health or things. And they boil down to really what I call three-dimensional wealth goals. And I think it's a terrific tool for someone to track because most times people don't put that stuff out in front. I mean, they sort of set these goals. It kind of reminds me of the New Year's resolution. And by January 15th, we've forgotten what it's all about. And yet these things that we think are important, if they really are, then maybe we should spend some time visualizing and then following through. So, Jason, I hear some background music means we're going to take a break. So stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Three Dimensional Wealth.
The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
Investment management is more than picking a good stock. In fact, a good company may not be a good investment. With today's complex financial products, it becomes critical to employ a true professional on your team. That's where the members of IMCA, the Investment Management Consultants Association, comes in. These professionals have proven themselves to be the best in the business. So when looking to get a second opinion on your portfolio, look for individuals with a CIMA designation. That's Certified Investment Management Analyst, a cut above the rest. Brought to you by the NYC chapter of IMCA.
Going nowhere as a financial professional? Enroll today at the American College. The American College is the nation's oldest and largest distance learning institution devoted to financial services education. Research has shown that graduates of the American College's Chartered Life Underwriter and Chartered Financial Consultant programs average 20% higher production income than their peers without professional designations. For more information, visit theamericancollege.edu. That's theamericancollege.edu, the education you need to succeed.
Financial planning can be confusing and complex, and unless you have a solid game plan, you could be taking unnecessary risks and missing out on tremendous opportunities. Let Dieffendorf Capital Planning Associates take the mystery out of investing and help you build a solid financial foundation for years to come. Dieffendorf Capital Planning revolves around the family, and through our financial service companies and three-dimensional wealth centers, we strive to deliver total wealth management, financially, personally, and socially. Learn more about what Dieffendorf Capital Planning Associates can do for you. Visit the website at dieffendorfcapital.com today. Integrity, full service, best in class, dieffendorfcapital.com.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is Voice America Business.
We now return to Three Dimensional Wealth with Roy Dieffendorf. Direct your questions and comments to www.dieffendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now the host of Three Dimensional Wealth, Roy Dieffendorf.
Welcome back. My guest for today is Jason Womack, and we're discussing goal setting. As a matter of fact, I first met Jason. This was a personal excellence back in August of 2006. Each of us had an article. In fact, face-to-face on page 14 was an article I'd written, and page 15 was an article that you wrote on how goals work and dreams do come true by Jason Womack. So I'm glad that we tracked you down and we got you on air with us. And one of the things that we talked about just before we took a break was about keeping track of our goals, visualizing them. And during the break, you said, but there are right ways and wrong ways to review our goals. So maybe you can share with the audience what you mean by that.
Ever since teaching in high school, one of my many careers was I got to teach history and Spanish while I was teaching high school. And I learned while I was teaching high school, I had to become very efficient. I only had 47 minutes per class period. I only was going to see the kids 150 times that year. So I had to really work on my efficiency. So when I think of the words right and wrong or better and worse, I actually just break it down to more efficient or less efficient. Mm-hmm. And there are more and less efficient ways of reviewing goals. Whether those goals come to me. So I've had people in a digital kind of personal management system, maybe they'll set an alarm, and every Tuesday at 4 p.m. they'll get an alarm to review their goal sheet. Other people will have their assistant bring them their goal file on a Thursday afternoon and go through their goal file. So if we looked at a less efficient way of reviewing goals, and then we'll look at the more efficient way, but a less efficient way of reviewing goals would be, A, to think that it's extra work. People tell me all the time, I don't have time to review my goals, I'm too busy. Or, oh, that's just extra and that takes too long. I've even had people tell me, you know, Jason, reviewing my goals and this positive imagery, that's just a bunch of hocus pocus and I don't believe in that. So I'm going to keep on doing what it was that I was doing. Now, the fascinating thing is when I say less efficient, it just means that it's going to take you longer to get those goals to come true.
Mm-hmm.
One of my teachers up in Seattle, a man named Lou Tice, who runs the Pacific Institute up there, he shared with me in a seminar once, he said, Jason, you're going to get everything you want in your life. No matter what you want, as long as you want it, you'll get it. He said, some things are going to take you 30 years to get, some things are going to take you 20 years to get, some things will take you 10 years to get. His question to me is, would you like to take that 30-year goal and have it done sooner? Would you like it done in 13 years or in 3 years or in 3 months? And what I just decided to do out of that workshop that I took with him was to put that to the test. So I took something that I thought was going to take a much longer time than I had time to do right now, and I just started using some of these tools and techniques to bring that toward me sooner, faster, easier.
Doesn't everyone say, Joe, Jason, well, of course I want to do my 30-year goals in 10 years.
Yep.
I mean, everybody's going to say that, but are they willing to do the things that need to be done in order to do the 30-year goals in 10 years?
I think what gets in the way, in between those two things, mm-hmm. is the bridge that we can cross, which is how will I let myself think about bringing those things toward me? I believe in this thing I call the law of attraction, that we tend to attract toward us what it is that we're thinking about experiencing. In the negative sense, have you ever had the experience where you know someone, they get in the car, they're driving to work, they're running a little bit late, and they think to themselves, I hope I don't hit traffic today. I hope the buses don't run late today. I hope the train isn't being repaired today. And what's fascinating is in that process, we can actually attract to us what it was we didn't want because of the picture with the feeling. See, when people start to think about being late, they actually start to feel that somewhere. Maybe their chest tightens, their body starts to increase with what it is that they're going to be worried about and how it is they're going to get there. I say use all of that in a more efficient way. What does that mean? Well, imagine that goal that might take 4 months, it might take 4 years. And as you're thinking about that, picturing that in your mind, what's that going to feel like? What's it going to be like? Is your heart going to beat a little faster? Are your feet going to tap lightly on the floor? Are you going to drum your fingers on the table? And get that involvement in with the goal setting. I've said for years, one repetition at a very high emotional amplitude will outweigh 100 repetitions that are done rote.
Is that what a world-class either athlete or world-class, put it in any kind of thing, either politicians, is that what they're doing? Is that what makes them out in the front?
And some people are taught it, and some people just get it. You know, there's examples of that abound through history and probably in people's current situations. You know, you'll talk about a friend or a colleague, and you'll say, gosh, they can do no wrong. They're always on. They're just there. They may not have been taught it, but they do it. And there's the other ones of us. Thank goodness I had a teacher. Several, in fact. You know, thank goodness there was someone who came along and said, hey, Jason, here's a more efficient, more effective, more productive way to think about your life, work, how that balance comes back and forth with one another, and how to use your three most limited resources of all.
Which are?
Your time, your energy, and your focus. And some of those are real hard as far as time. You only have 1,440 minutes in a day. And some of them are very soft, your focus. You know, I know people who, when they wake up in the morning, they're so charged and ready for the day that the first 3 or 4 hours are their most productive. And yet I've worked for other people that they only start to wake up around 11 o'clock in the morning. But either one of those two people, there's going to be another time during the day when their assets are not as strong or valuable or worthwhile, if you will. Energy, I always tell people that, you know, that's the one that it can go up and down according to emotional effects, stress, vision, pictures in their head of what they're seeing. But those three, time, energy, and focus, I think those are the ones that if I were going to work with someone on goals and goal setting, I would really want to explore how they're using each one of those three.
When I think of that focus part of it, it's almost like I think of light going through a prism. You know, when it goes through, it gets diffused, and so you see sort of the rainbow. But, you know, I don't know if you turn it around or something, and it sort of the light goes down into like a laser beam. I mean, laser beam, I think, can cut steel or something. And then that focus gets completely changed with the same beam of light. And, you know, that's the kind of imagery I have. And I say, okay, how can I focus? Because I know the days that I'm on and I'm at my best. It's true, and I'm like the laser beam. I'm I'm cutting through anything that I'm tackling, and at the end of the day, I go, "Whew, what a day!" You know, and so those are fun. Now,
well, in light of goal setting, you know, it's fascinating. If anybody listening to this would take the time for themselves, it'd only take about 30 seconds. But if they took for themselves the time to write down just one of their goals that they have. When you look at that goal, either you want it or you don't. It's an either or. And so like you were saying, I love that analogy. I'm going to steal that one, by the way, of the light going through the crystal, going toward that prism. If I allow my energy to come in and then diffuse itself, and how does it get diffused? Well, easy. You sit down at a desk, you open up your email, you start listening to your voicemail, you start drafting the agenda for a meeting, you start worrying about the weekend and the in-laws coming to visit, you start worrying about the last month and you forgot to send that one thing to a client you promised. All of a sudden, you've diffused the energy you had to work on this high-value, high-impact activity that was going to get you closer to what it was that you wanted to express or be known for. And so how do I sit down? I mean, here's the ultimate question. How do I sit down with all of my education, experience, knowledge, and intuition and work on the most appropriate thing?
One of the things I find, I don't know if this is true with people that you've counseled, but if I start the night before and I have in my mind what's on that agenda, and what are the things that I need to accomplish the next day as opposed to showing up the next day and say, okay, now what am I going to do? But if I put it on, now I'm working 24 hours a day. My mind, I wake up in the morning, and I may have already gotten two or three of these things figured out. I don't know how. I don't know how it is that I'm not exhausted. But my mind is working on these things. Now I can't wait to get to the office to say, oh, look what I've already accomplished or what I can figure out or things that were, you know, somehow they weren't very clear and I wasn't sure what it was supposed to look like. And now it's crystallized. And yet my mind is putting it all together subconsciously somehow.
you know, and any listeners out there who want to know why that happens and how to maximize it, I would encourage them to look up on the internet or in any books. There's a part of the brain located at the lower part of the back of the brain. It's called the reticular activating system. It's essentially the awareness, it's the cockpit, it's the driver of consciousness. And what happens is, even when you're unconscious, in this case you said you were sleeping, but even when you're unconscious and you're awake, you've got this radar that's scanning, looking for potentially useful data that could help get me to where I want to go. So I can give a unconscious sleep example, or I can give an unconscious awake example. The sleep example, you know, Roy, you're in a good group because that's what Albert Einstein used to do. At the night, he said he had a notepad next to his bed, and he wrote down a question. He wrote it in the form of a question. He wrote down what he was working on that week that he would love more answers to. And he fell asleep. When he woke up the next morning, his habit was he turned in the notepad. He just started writing. He didn't always know what he was going to write, but he just started writing. Before he got out of bed, he just started writing. And in one of his biographies I read, more times than not, or enough times to keep him doing it, he would come up with a new answer just because he had this intention running through the evening. A conscious example, and this is a really silly one, but you know, anybody who's bought a new car in the past couple years, if you remember the purchase process, so you found the car that you think you might want to buy, you went to the internet, you looked at it online, you painted in the picture you wanted, you went to the lot, you saw the car, you returned to the lot, you test drove the car, you finally drove the car off the lot, go back home, and you noticed that that car was everywhere around you, driving on the same freeway as you.
Mm.
Those cars were there the week, the month, probably even the year before you started planning to buy yours. But because you put it into your mind, this is now meaningful and important to me, your mind starts to look in places it never looked before. You didn't have to worry about who else had a white Highlander. But when you took your car to the mall the first couple of weeks you owned it, you walked back out to the car, and you noticed how many white Highlanders there were. You said, oh, my goodness, thank goodness I have that little beeper on my keychain.
That is absolutely true. Absolutely true, because I just bought a car 2 weeks ago. So we're going to take one more break, and then we're going to come back for our final segment of Three Dimensional Wealth. So stay tuned. We'll be back. Thanks a lot.
The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
Going nowhere as a financial professional? Enroll today at the American College. The American College is the nation's oldest and largest distance learning institution devoted to financial services education. Research has shown that graduates of the American College's Chartered Life Underwriter and Chartered Financial Consultant programs average 20% higher production income than their peers without professional designations. For more information, visit theamericancollege.edu. That's theamericancollege.edu, the education you need to succeed.
Financial planning can be confusing and complex, and unless you have a solid game plan, you could be taking unnecessary risks and missing out on tremendous opportunities. Let Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates take the mystery out of investing and help you build a solid financial foundation for years to come. Diefendorf Capital Planning revolves around the family, and through our financial service companies and three-dimensional wealth centers, we strive to deliver total wealth management financially, personally, and socially. Learn more about what Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates can do for you. Visit the website at diefendorfcapital.com today. Integrity, full service, best in class, diefendorfcapital.com.
Investment management is more than picking a good stock. In fact, a good company may not be a good investment. With today's complex financial products, it becomes critical to employ a true professional on your team. That's where the members of IMCA, the Investment Management Consultants Association, comes in. These professionals have proven themselves to be the best in the business. So when looking to get a second opinion on your portfolio, look for individuals with a CIMA designation. That's Certified Investment Management Analyst, a cut above the rest. Brought to you by the NYC chapter of IMCA.
keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is Voice America Business.
Bringing you the keys to total wealth management, this is Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf. Comments or questions? Visit www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now back to the show. Here's Roe Diefendorf.
Our show for today is entitled Goal Setting, How to Make the Most of Your Personal Wealth. I've got Jason Womack with me, and Jason is a professional coach, personal coach, motivator, speaker, educator, travels extensively around the country and throughout the world, talking about these specific ways to bring in goal setting, how to do it effectively, how to do it efficiently. And so one of the things, Jason, I know I've heard you say is there's a five-day challenge. So in this last section, maybe a takeaway, what does that mean and how does someone use this five-day challenge?
The five-day challenge came up in some work that I was doing with a client about 3 years ago. And we were looking at very specific areas of his life. We were talking about health. We were talking about work, life, and balance. And so what we did is we took a look at all the things that this guy was thinking about doing. He had a couple of kids that were about to hit their teenage years. He just moved to go to a different part of the organization. They hadn't moved their house physically, and they hadn't decided whether they were going to move or if he was going to keep on commuting. And it became this thing where we were looking at 1, 3, and 5 year plans. And it was huge. I mean, it was very, you know, we had a strategic, we had some setup going. We had some very, very specific ways to get from here to there. And at the end of this, he looked at me and he said, Jason, it looks good. He said, it's just too much. Mm-hmm. He said, I can't imagine it all done. I've said I was going to do more than I think that I can do. And so I went to the opposite end of the extreme. I didn't mean for it to show up. It just showed up. I said, well, what could you do for the next 5 days, every day, that would get you a little bit closer? Not all the way there. There's some things that are going to take 3, 4, 5 years. But what's one thing we could do every day for the next 5 days? It's got to be small. It's got to be easy. It's got to be intuitive. It's got to be something that you can commit to and you can say, look at every day for the next 5 days, this is what I'm going to do. And what I found with that was, he did it, by the way. He was able to commit to one part of the whole goal orientation in that process. And what I've found, and over the years I've switched it up a little bit, which is this, I can pretty much find if something's not going to work for me within 5 days. Hmm. So we talked earlier in this broadcast about self-talk. So just monitor your self-talk for 5 days. Only monitor your self-talk while you're brushing your teeth. You know, connect it to something you know you're going to do. Another thing you could do is if you do a tea or a coffee in the morning. You know, most people have these habits that they do every single day without fail. And if one of them happens to be a tea or a coffee, monitor your self-talk that time. And only allow yourself to think one way or the other. Now, of course, you could allow yourself to think negatively for that process of self-talk, but I think both you and I both know what I would recommend at least. Sure. And maybe, you know, for the first 3 or 4 sips of that drink, it's what is today going to look like? What would make today powerful? What would make today successful? In the last segment, we talked about the reticular activating system and actually using nighttime sleep or day-to-day work to unconsciously look for answers to problems or solutions. So another 5-day challenge could be take 5 3-by-5 note cards, those little lined note cards that we all had in school, take 5 of them, put them next to your nightstand, and right before you fall asleep for 5 nights in a row, you write down on one side everything you can remember accomplishing that day. You write down on the other side everything you're grateful for that moment. And again, what you're doing is you're putting yourself in the frame to do 2 things. Number one, acknowledge that you can set and attain goals, and acknowledge how good it feels when you set and attain goals. So really, when we're talking about a work-life balance, which, by the way, I don't believe anybody wants a work-life balance, at least in America, at least the people that I work for. Nobody wants balance because as soon as they get balance, they add something else to the mix.
That's it.
As soon as they get things lined up, as soon as the kids are in school, so now they have more time to do X, they fill it in. As soon as they get the promotion, they fill it back in. As soon as they take some time off, I've known people who took a six-month sabbatical, and they were busier, more tied up, and more stressed out at the end of the sabbatical because of everything they did while they had time off. Probably the best example, and I know you guys see it in the advising roles, especially around the finances, is people who retire.
Oh, yeah.
And as soon as they retire, they're on more committees, they're volunteering for more organizations, they're fundraising for more great causes, and I actually have had people tell me, Jason, I don't know how I ever had time to work. I'm so busy.
All the time.
So if we're looking at work-life balance, what I'd like to do with more and more people, and this is what I write about. This is. Can I mention my website? Right?
I was just going to ask you about that. Now, you know, how do we get a hold of you? How would we see what you're writing? So tell us.
So I write pretty much weekly on a website called fitandeffective.com. And what I mean by fit and effective has to do with more than just the health and wellness piece, because I think it's a whole piece. I don't think anybody can be fit and effective if they're stressed out mentally. I don't think anybody can be fit and effective if they're stressed out physically. So what I like to do is bridge those two things together. And they're all right about things. It's pretty random, so I tend to keep people's interest. That's my goal. And some days I'll write about what it's like to travel as much as I do. Let's see, this year I was in a hotel just under 250 times. I took 175 airplane flights this year to move my body around. What does that mean? It just means that I'm really good at getting from point A to point B. So if anyone listening out there has to travel for their job, I've always got a couple of tips and tricks on that. And so when I'm looking at work-life balance, I really come back to the cornerstone of what I think this entire conversation has been about, which is, will you allow yourself to very specifically, very exactly let yourself know what it is you want, what those goals are, what those expectations are, what you're anticipating the future is going to look, sound, and feel like? And the next piece of that is move that expectation, move that anticipation, the visualization you're going to do, move that into a, what's it going to feel like? What am I going to experience? What are the people around me going to say? How is this going to make my family feel? How is this going to make my staff feel? How is this going to make my organization feel? If you want specific examples, you can take a look at your roles, your goals, your responsibilities. I usually have people go through one or two of personal and one or two of professional roles. We'll get a goal for each one of those. A goal as a husband, a goal as a homeowner, a goal as a professional speaker, a goal as an author. And then those four goals, I want to review those. How often do I want to review those? Well, like I said, if you review them once a quarter, that's four a year. If you review it once a month, that's 12 a year. Only know that whenever you review one of those goals, allow yourself to see it complete and feel it complete. That's the only piece that I really want to drive home as we come to a close here.
Hey, I looked on your website. You had a calendar. One of the things I saw was a thing that said, Lunch with Jason. What's that about?
You know, traveling as much as I do, I just decided to put together a website called Lunch with Jason. And when I'm in a city, when I'm visiting, people will put together a little event. We'll sit down, break bread together, share ideas, share some goals, and I'll offer anything that I can to the folks. My commitment to that is I'll always bring as much as I can to the conversation, and then people always walk away with product. They'll get some CDs, they'll get some booklets, anything that would help them along the way. And I try to do one of those a month, but obviously if something shows up and it's a special request, or if someone says, hey, Jason, will you just come into our company and do a lunch, absolutely open to that. And you can just shoot me an email via the Fit and Effective website, and I can get back to people right away on that.
Jason, wonderful perspective. You're doing a terrific job. I'm glad our paths crossed, and thanks for sharing today with us.
Thank you, Roy. It's been a pleasure, and I look forward to the next time.
All right. And I hope you've enjoyed our conversation today. And join us next week at the same time, because I'll be back with more Three-Dimensional Wealth. Thank you.
Voice America Business thanks you for tuning in to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Rory Diefendorf. Please join us again next Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time for more tips and strategies for achieving total wealth management on Three-Dimensional Wealth, right here on Voice America Business, the bottom line in business talk.